Love that you're listening, but join up and encourage your friends to join too. It's only $54 a year, and it helps us keep the station on the air. You can join on our website, www.j-air.com.au.
You are listening to J-Air, 88 FM.
London Beat.
You are tuned into the Havel radio station everyone loves.
J-Air,
88 FM.
On air 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and online at j-air.com.au.
Thank you. extend a huge warm welcome to all of our listeners for this week's edition of The London Beat. And yes, it's the gravelly, broken, lost Barry White, almost missing voice of our presenter and broadcaster Warren Wills, 88 FM London Beat, J Air. This Sunday, as we head to Halloween and we head into November, 2 months remaining in the year, we will only do positive news today because we're an art show and that's what we do. We're into social inclusion, we're into grassroots and community stuff, making the world a better place through arts, and my God, do we need that now. And we are really here to respect and share whatever we can with all people. And huge call out to JB Jordan Brown doing the heavy lifting, and a huge call out to those who are working tirelessly on all fronts to actually do what they can to bring peace. Whether it be a call out to Ron Finkel or JF John Founden over in London. I don't need to mention to anyone the ongoing seismic tectonic events that have affected the geopolitics of the world, never mind all the earth issues that have gone on this year. But we are here at London Beat and we are here to celebrate life and the arts. And indeed, on the 24th and 25th of November, we are doing just that. We are doing the Night of Building Bridges. It was initially going to be the Night of Broken Glass, but I think we've had enough of broken glass just at this moment. It would be remiss and insensitive, I think, to plough on regardless. And I think it far more important and pressing that we look at this idea of the Night of Building Bridges. And what it should be is to honour and celebrate humanity, most of all, and empathy and human compassion, and courage. And by God, there's been some incredible, courageous feats that will be honoured, and most of all, friendship. Now, let's bring together all our different groups, whether they be different national, ethnic, linguistic groups of differing abilities, whether they be different religious groups. And yes, we will all work together. We will have fantastic concerts. It's happening November 24th and 25th. And it was great yesterday to actually do some stuff, in spite of no voice, with our friends from Tongji, the Shanghai University Alumni Association, who were working with us with this fantastic story about Ho Fung Shen. And we went off to SBS and we did our very best on that. And that was fantastic. Fantastic. So huge call out to all our friends from Tongji, and a huge call out to Gigi, who I met yesterday, and Blind Sports and Arts, who have been so fantastic and supportive of many projects coming up. The importance, I think it's fair to say. And a huge call out to all of our friends in London. It was great to be in London, albeit it wasn't very much time, 2 weeks, but we'd certainly crammed. It was great to see friends and family, great to see old friends, aptly named the Stephen Sondheim Love Letter, produced by Cameron McIntosh, starring Bernard Bernadette Peters, Janie Dean, other tremendous talents. What a fantastic, uplifting performance it was. A huge call out to Mandy Simons, doing fantastic stuff over there as well. We must believe that we are here in the pursuit of peace. And as I keep saying, if only peace caught on and swept on like a contagion, a wildfire, like fear does, and the amount of fear mongering, well, we won't even go into that. But listen, without our health and our wits and peace, we got now, so let's face it. And it was great to see our ocean at the end of the lane whilst we were in London. It's very funny being in London in October, and of course, which is the new summer. Now that I'm armed with that knowledge, I will certainly be going out with my mankini and suntan cream every October. But certainly, that is what it's about. We will certainly be there October. And a huge call out to Alan Kogosowski, doing fantastic stuff. He's doing a fantastic performance tonight, as it turns out, when this is broadcast, including Beethoven's Sonata, The Tempest, which is gorgeous. Looking forward to seeing one of my old pieces for many years in London, did Lady Day at Emerson Bar and Grill, which is an incredible piece of writing by Loni Robertson about Billie Holiday, Lady Day herself, and Dawn Hope, with whom I had the great pleasure of working with around London, was a sensational Billie Holiday. Looking forward to going seeing and reviewing that, presented by the Melbourne Theatre Company this Wednesday night. Something to look forward to. And who can complain, as a long-suffering Spurs supporter, Ange Ball, yes, Tottenham Hotspurs, 5 points clear at the top of the table. What can we possibly say about that? Well, if the season ended now, that would be a fine thing. But such incredible display, undefeated, and certainly worth a good look, certainly worth watching. So, yes, there's plenty to celebrate when it comes to the art. Yes, I know it's set against a backdrop of parlous times. I'm not trying to be dismissive or insensitive, but let's face it, if we spent our time glued only to news broadcasts, and we would sink deeper and deeper into what it's been. It's melancholy, it's tragic beyond tragic, and the hysteria that accompanies it and fear-mongering, I don't know what to say. It's so incumbent upon all of us to put down whatever these grievances are, and simply to recognise that solutions do not lie in further bloodshed. Surely they lie in working together with respect, as I say, in friendship, for goodness sake, at a grassroots level, to do what we can to improve the world, and we certainly shall. We are going to go through a fantastic show again today. I'm so sorry I have no voice. A huge call out to JB Jordan Brown doing the heavy lifting over there. He said, this man's life has changed in so many ways. I remember at the start of the year he was going to become a choir master, but there we go, he's navigated himself through some rather interesting times, and nonetheless a great friend of the show, as are so many people. But please put November 24th and 5th into your books. November 24th, it's a Friday night at 7 o'clock. We will be doing the night of building bridges, as we will be on the 25th. It's a Saturday at 3 p.m. and 7 p.m. Please look out for that. Wishing you only peace. And as I say, we are here to champion, honour and celebrate humanity, empathy, courage and friendship. Sounds like a pretty reasonable a dose of advice. Not that I am in any position to offer anyone advice, but let's look out for it. Anyway, let's pause for some music. You are, of course, listening to this week's edition of The London Beat. Thank you. warm welcome back to all of our listeners for this week's edition of The London Beat. And as I am bringing this missive to you from northern Kazakhstan, sitting in a sukkah with the British ambassador to Kazakhstan, the Honourable Kathy Leach.
Hi there.
Welcome to the show, Kathy. How on earth does someone get appointed to come out to Astana and then furthermore even make their way out to Burabay?
Well, it's one of those long stories, but essentially you join the Foreign Office, you become a diplomat, you travel the world, and because I did Russian at university, Kazakhstan was an obvious location. So very fortunate to get a job in a part of the world I love. Now learning Kazakh as well as Russian, and having a wonderful time.
I think you're being very modest when you say learning, because I've just heard the ambassador unveiled, which was quite exceptional, seemed quite fluent as far as I'm concerned. Now, we are in an incredibly beautiful part of the world, and I notice there are hundreds of thousands of pine trees, mm-hmm. all the same height, mm-hmm. all equidistant pine in this forest. Is it a joy for you to be posted to a place like this? Did you have any say in the posting, and how are you finding it here?
So you always have a choice. I think in the old days you'd get the phone call there, I don't know, wherever.
Right.
But nowadays you make the choice, and it was a very deliberate choice for me, as I said, because I've lived and worked in this region before, not in Central Asia, but in kind of wider sort of Eastern Europe, Eurasia. Not to be interested by Kazakhstan. It's the ninth largest country in the world. It's got this amazing history, this nomadic tradition as part of the Soviet Union. It went through, the people of Kazakhstan went through some extraordinary times, both good and bad. And now 32 years on from independence, they've built an amazing country.
Absolutely. You know, I'm very minded of the fact that I was here last year in Almaty doing a festival here, doing a piece about Genghis Khan's long-suffering devoted law wife, Borte, who was one of the original feminists in a certain extent. And it's sort of become a magnet and a melting pot for all kinds of things, from spiritual reasons. We had the Pope coming here. There was an international faith alliance. What's happened to Kazakhstan in the last 4 or 5 years? It's created this kind of vibe of it being a central hub.
I think it has. Well, because it is a kind of a central crossing place, actually, between Europe and Asia, and part of the Silk Road in the south. But also, I think, again, it's more recent history. It's been a home for lots of different populations, some who've chosen to come here, some who've been forcibly deported. But it's welcomed everybody. And I think now what you do have is a very hospitable country with lots of influences from all over. From north, south, east, and west, and a very deliberately multi-faith, multi-ethnic, multicultural culture that wants everyone to feel comfortable.
I must ask you, and I'm quite sure you do a lot of stuff pushing and promoting British commerce, industry, uh-huh. things here,
uh-huh.
but we're an arts show, so I'm just wondering, tell us a little bit about the kind of thing that Britain has to offer in terms of culture and art that you're involved with, about bringing out to Kazakhstan, and particularly looking to your crystal ball for the next 12 months.
Goodness. Yes, well, I'm really glad to say that we have the British Council here, who of course are our arts, culture, English language, education organisation, and they've got a really proud tradition here, of at least 20 years of doing a whole bunch of different things. I mean, the thing I'm really proud of in the last few years has been a project called Creative Spark, which has been about trying to help universities and other institutions kind of create courses to develop creative entrepreneurship, and also create those kind of ecosystems to help artists come together and support each other. So that, I think, has been a really great step. And last week, actually, I was in Almaty, where they vote at De Montfort University, which has a new campus in Kazakhstan. They've opened a creative hub specifically to kind of build on this and to try to... I mean, Almaty is also a wonderful creative city.
Beautiful city.
So I think, you know, to be a hub for creative people to come and experiment and meet each other and inspire each other. So I think we really want to build on that. I hope next year we're kind of thinking about how to do a kind of a big week of British culture.
That'd be fantastic.
Looking at film, fashion, other things. So that's what we're thinking about. And I would love to have a yurt, the traditional Kazakh nomadic tent, felt tent, with a small Union Jack on it.
Of which I seem to remember from the piece I did about Chinggis Khan and Borte, the yurt, the grand yurt, wherever they went, the full harem of their trusted officials used to go with them. I must say, for someone myself who has lived sort of 20 years spitting distance from the Chelsea football ground by Fulham Broadway Station, waking up in Almaty, in a city that is nestled and surrounded by the most beautiful mountains, and here being nestled at a high elevation amongst the most beautiful, what a glory it must be for you to wake up here every morning anyway.
Yeah, well, I think Kazakhstan is the size of Western Europe, and it encompasses within it amazing landscapes from desert and canyons that look like Arizona through to mountains and lakes that look like Switzerland. And then, of course, the enormous, vast, boundless steppe in the middle. So you really can find any kind of landscape here. And I think that's that, particularly for someone coming from the UK, which is a small and quite packed island off the coast of Europe.
That is suffering the tragic loss of one of its most beloved trees.
I know. Oh. We're speaking after that beautiful tree has been cut down. But I think, you know, the scale of Kazakhstan and the kind of the grandeur of the landscapes and of the mountain ranges, the Altai, the Tian Shan, the mountain range that separates it from China. It's just, I think it's a treat for any adventure tourist looking for something new.
You should be on commission for the Kazakhstan Tourist Board.
I should.
Ambassador, thank you so much for your such positive outlook and input into what's going on here. We hope to hopefully see you again at some point in some future festival that Marat decides to organise in Kazakhstan.
I will be there.
We are going to pause some music. It's been a great privilege having Ambassador Kathy Leach join us for conversation. We're going to pause some music. You've been listening to Warren Rules on 88 FM JL. This is, of course, the London Beat. We'll be right back.
and one breath.
Huge warm welcome back to all of our listeners for this week's edition of the London Beat, coming to you on JR 88 FM, Warren Wheels live broadcast. Here we are at the Wyndham Garden Hotel. Sitting next to me is Stepan, who is going to act as translator for what is about to occur. And I'm talking to a very lovely lady who is over here with her two children and her husband, and her name, I've got to get this right. I can't say I'm going to perfect it, but she'll tell me off if I get it wrong. And her name is Natalia Proskuryakova. Natalia, welcome to the show.
Спасибо.
Okay. Natalia is Russian, and this is going to happen in a little bit of Russian and English, but I think it's a story for our dear listeners worth hearing, as it's happening right here in northern Kazakhstan, which in fact is very close to the Russian border. So let's kick things off with Natalia. First of all, Natalia, welcome to the show. It's lovely to have you here. I'm sorry that your two children and your husband are not here with you, but it's enough to get us all going. So, Natalia, you came here effectively to escape what was happening over in Russia. Is that correct?
Yes, it's correct.
So tell me more. What made you come here? What made you leave Russia? Why did you leave Russia when you left? Why didn't you leave Russia 6 months, a year earlier? You could see what was coming up. You could see the dark clouds on the horizon. Trouble was coming. Why did you leave when you left? And why did you come here?
I'll continue in Russian.
Yes, yeah, sure.
Okay, I will.
Мы уехали в начале июня прошлого года, 22-го года.
The beginning of the June is the time when they...
Stepan, I'm going to have to ask you to speak a little bit louder.
A little bit louder.
So, and clearer.
Okay, so June 2022.
Yep.
Natalia, her husband and their kids living in Russia.
Yep.
Мы приехали сюда сразу в город Щучинск.
So we decided to... go to the Щучинск, the city Щучинск.
Уехали мы, потому что у мужа заблокировали доступ к сайту, через который он работает с клиентами.
So we left, the main reason is connected with the work of her husband. The problem is that sanctions, they blocked the site, the website, which was the her husband's work, main work.
Okay. You had to come here because it was...
Это была, так скажем, prime reason.
Yeah, prime reason, main reason.
Okay.
Но перед этим мы собирались уехать из России. Мы строили планы на уезд из России.
But just before that, before the war.
Да, перед тем, как уже в июне окончательно уехать, мы строили планы уехать из России.
So, before they left Russia, they already had the plans to escape, to get up the road.
Very clever. I understand. So, okay. You're talking to me as an Australian, and this is going out on Australian air. You can say whatever you like in Australia. Nobody will get you into trouble for anything.
Yeah.
We're thrilled that you're here, and we're thrilled that you're safe, most of all. Mm-hmm. We're thrilled. We don't want to see anybody get hurt. That's the main thing.
Yeah.
You understand?
I understand what you're talking about. My husband has a lot of clients in Australia, and
okay,
he knows about this situation, and his friends about this situation.
Okay. It's a very big deal for you to leave your home, to take your children out of school or wherever they are, yeah, and to leave Russia, yeah? But you obviously decided it was no longer possible. You could not stay any longer.
Yes, it was not possible for us to stay at Russia for no longer. Там сейчас невозможно.
Well, kids normally in Russia.
Там проводят разговоры о главном с нашими детьми в садиках и в школах.
Yes.
заставляют их поверить в причину войны.
So right now there is a big propaganda camp, even in kindergartens, in schools. They had they call it like the talks about the main thing. So it's like the special lessons where the teachers make the students to believe that this reasons of this war is not useless. Yeah, so it's it was really necessary to start to begin this war, and it's a right thing.
Okay, here's some questions. Okay, a lot of people in Russia support the war. Yes.
I think more than 50%.
More than half. Uh-huh.
More than half.
Okay. And tell me if I'm wrong. Russia being at war with Ukraine, it's a bit like in Australia. Victoria is a state going to war against New South Wales. They're the same people. Everyone has families in New South Wales. Everyone in Russia must have friends and family in Ukraine, and Ukraine must have friends and family in Russia. It seems crazy. You're fighting yourselves.
I know it. I think it was strange to go against our people.
Yeah, it's like you're fighting your brother and sister.
Yes.
Yeah?
Yes.
Yeah?
Yes.
But the people who believe the war, what do they think is going to happen? What do they see the next 12 months, 5 years? What do they think will happen?
I don't know. I don't understand them. It's very strange for me, the talks that I hear from them. Today we were talking with Степан about the reasons in Russian. Помнишь, мы с тобой разговаривали, что есть люди, там мои знакомые, которые говорят о том, что мы должны были напасть, потому что если бы мы не напали, нас бы побили, наших бы побили. В общем, вот это вот.
So even Natalia have friends, real good friends, who just after a few months after the war began, they started to say things like, "Oh, you know, we must have attacked Ukraine because." If we won't do that, the Ukraine will attack us first.
Okay.
So, and it's all the propaganda lines, and everybody just begin to represent it, to repeat it.
And one more reason. Please.
Since Ukraine got its independence in 1990-something,
1991.
Have they been giving you lots of trouble?
No.
No.
Have they been giving anyone any trouble?
No.
In Russia?
And one more reason. Многие из моих знакомых считают, что... На Украине живут какие-то злые люди и являют им много проблем.
So it's really strange because Natalia has a lot of friends who really think that Ukraine, and it's very bad for them. How can where is the this inflation? So how influenced? No idea.
When
nationalism.
It's all and also yeah.
The Winter Olympics were on in Russia.
Ukraine, and it's very bad for them. How can, where is the this inflation? So how influenced, no idea.
When?
It's all, and also, yeah.
The Winter Olympics were on in Russia.
Ukraine, and it's very bad for them. How can, where is the this inflation? So how influenced, no idea.
When?
It's all, and also, yeah.
The Winter Olympics were on in Russia.
Ukraine, and it's very bad for them. How can, where is the this inflation? So how influenced, no idea.
When?
It's all, and also, yeah.
The Winter Olympics were on in Russia.
Ukraine, and it's very bad for them. How can, where is the this inflation? So how influenced, no idea.
When?
It's all, and also, yeah.
The Winter Olympics were on in Russia.
Ukraine, and it's very bad for them. How can, where is the this inflation? So how influenced, no idea.
When?
It's all, and also, yeah.
The Winter Olympics were on in Russia.
Ukraine, and it's very bad for them. How can, where is the this inflation? So how influenced, no idea.
When?
It's all, and also, yeah.
The Winter Olympics were on in Russia.